Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the second Sunday after the Epiphany comes from our Gospel reading. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Let's follow the text. Nathanael is right there underneath that fig tree. What he's doing there, I cannot say. Perhaps he was taking the Israelite equivalent of a siesta. Maybe he was taking a break underneath the shade of that tree, far away from the hot, blistering sun. Maybe this was his thinking spot, a place where Nathanael liked to tuck himself away from the cares of the world in order to contemplate the good and the bad and everything in between. In truth, it doesn't really matter, because I dare say that there was no other place that Nathanael could have been found when Philip came and spoke to him, said that they had found the one that Moses and the law and all the prophets had wrote about. There he was, under the fig tree. And Jesus saw him there. Of course, Jesus saw him there. Nathanael isn't quite so sure, though, is he, about this word that comes from Philip? Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Probably not. Otherwise, Nathanael wouldn't have said as much. For what was the city of Nazareth except a throwaway little town in the middle of Galilee? Not many would expect the King of Israel from such a place, let alone the Messiah that's long been promised. Better he come from Jerusalem, the city of David. Better he come from a place where he should, a place of prestige and pedigree, a place of renown and worth. The Messiah from Nazareth, that just sounds too mundane, too commonplace, too unbelievable. Come and see. That's Philip's only response. What else could he really say? There isn't much that you can do to convince someone. There wasn't much that Philip could have done to convince Nathanael that they had found the Christ. That type of understanding has to come from somewhere else. And maybe that says a little bit of something to evangelism. The one at work, the one doing everything, really is never the evangelist. It's always God. Whatever the case, Nathanael is intrigued enough to go and see this Jesus, off to this nothing of a man from a nothing of a town, sure to disappoint him. What he expected to find, I can't tell you, but it probably wasn't the King of Israel. And the same could be said for any sinner. What is it that we expect to find when we encounter Jesus? He really isn't the guy that we have in mind. He doesn't really fulfill all that we have, all of our expectations, our preconceived notions about what a Messiah should be. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Probably not. It's the wrong city for a king to be found, and it's the wrong place for a Messiah to come from. Better to stay tucked away underneath this little shady fig tree of ours. But that makes no matter. Jesus is from Nazareth, from the place least expected. He's the type of Messiah that no one would ever actually ask for. For better or worse, Nathanael goes to see this. "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Strange words coming from a strange man, to be sure. What does he even mean by this? How could Jesus know? How could he know the type of man Nathanael was, or wasn't for that matter? So Nathanael, he seems to be just as skeptical and perplexed about all of this as we are. But Jesus, he doesn't stop there with his strange words and his baffling introduction. He goes on, he says, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." That seems to be a miracle of sorts, I suppose. Not the walking on water and the feeding of 5,000 types of miracle, but a miracle nonetheless, right? And it seems to be enough of a miracle to elicit a response from Nathanael, of faith and belief. He exclaims that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel. Now, personally, I'm not sure why he does that, why he makes such a giant leap. Presumably, Jesus knows something that he shouldn't. All right, that's all fine and good. But is that so great to be worthy of the response that Nathanael proclaims? I wouldn't think so. But perhaps that's because I'm not actually hearing what it is Jesus is saying. That's usually the case. Undoubtedly, Jesus did have that foreknowledge of where Nathanael had been sitting when Philip went and spoke with him. He was under the fig tree. But what does that even matter? Maybe Jesus had even passed by him while he was taking his little nap there, and Nathanael, he wouldn't be any wiser to it. That could have happened. Perhaps this was no miracle at all, just a coincidence. Or maybe it was a full-on miracle. Whatever the case, I'm sure there's actually more to it than meets the eye. This fig tree business seems to be an important part of the story, doesn't it? We kind of just gloss over it, but why mention it? I guess one could say that Jesus uses this specific detail in order to accentuate the miracle. Fine. But if we leave it there, then we leave out the most important part. Think back to the very first time that you get to hear about fig leaves and trees in Scripture. You have to go all the way back to the beginning. Well, not quite the beginning, almost the beginning. Adam and Eve, they recognized their nakedness. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and immediately they're thrown into sin and death. And so they do what any sinner would do. They try and cover themselves. But fig leaves, they make for a horrible garment to cover up shame and sin. They're far too leafy, far too inadequate to cover true nakedness. The sinner, yes, he does try his best, but the sinner's best is never good enough. Some church fathers have said that the fruit that was eaten there that fateful day was figs. It's all conjecture, I suppose, but I think it's as good a guess as any. They say this because fig leaves are the stuff that Adam and Eve use to cover themselves with. And what would a sinner do the very first time that they were thrust into sin? They would cover themselves. And what would they use for that cover? The very first thing they could find. I can almost see Adam and Eve, after they had gotten over the shock of their nakedness, ripping down branches from the very tree that brought them shame in order to cover their shame. Why would they go running off to another tree when that one was right there? I know, it's all just a bit of a guessing game, but the more I think about it, the more I think it makes sense, and not just practically, but spiritually too. For how many times have I attempted to cover my sin with more sin? I'm too embarrassed to even think about it. But that's what the sinner does. In his sinfulness, he can do no other. All that he can do is heap more sin upon himself in his feeble attempt at fixing his sinful plight. And so, if the fig is the fruit, then what better or worse garment to wear than fig leaves? So there sits Nathanael, underneath the fig tree. And that's where Philip finds him and tells him about the Messiah. But sitting comfortably underneath the fig tree of sin and shame and death and despair, it's really hard to believe that the one that Moses and the law and the prophets all wrote about is really actually right there, has really truly come. The sinner with his sinful fig tree shading him and his figgy sinful fig leaf garments covering him can't ever bring himself to know the Messiah. Can anything good actually come from Nazareth? That's just another way to say, this Jesus fellow can't really save me from my sin. How wrong the sinner is. Jesus sees the sinner underneath the fig tree, underneath his sinful shame, underneath his pitiful attempts to cover up his own nakedness. Jesus sees the sinner there, and he calls the sinner out every single time. I saw you. Before you ever even heard word of me, I saw you. I saw you in the sin of Adam that has draped you since your conception. I saw you in your own sin, covered from head to foot. I saw you and your measly little attempts of fashioning a loincloth for yourself. Why would you think that I wouldn't recognize the fig leaves? Why did you think that I wouldn't see your sinful attempt at fixing yourself up all nice and pretty? I see right through them. I see right through you. I see you sitting there, underneath your fig tree, completely and utterly naked. But Jesus says something else. He sees something else in Nathanael too. An Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He sees Nathanael as both, a sinner and a saint. But the saint stuff has nothing to do with Nathanael. The only thing that Nathanael can lay claim to in and of himself is that sinful fig tree stuff and the sinful fig leaf garments. That saint stuff, that Israelite with whom there is no deceit stuff, has to come from outside of him. That has to be given, granted, gifted. Jesus sees Nathanael underneath his fig tree, but he also sees the righteous Nathanael covered in the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He sees both, because Nathanael is both. We are both. He sees us the same way. And it is because of this whole fig tree stuff, the sin and shame and death stuff, that the Son of God, the King of Israel, actually came. Jesus goes on, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Because I knew you to be a sinner, you have faith?" Oh, Nathanael, there's so much more to it than that. There has to be so much more to it than that. You'll see greater things than these, greater things than me seeing you underneath the fig tree, knowing you to be a sinner, because you don't want that. You don't want just that. That's not going to end well for you. Why do you think I made garments for Adam and Eve to replace their fig leaf rubbish? Fig leaves weren't going to do it. Fig leaves weren't going to be enough. Nothing that they could fashion was going to cut it. I sacrificed for them, blood spilt, animal skins given to cover their shame, and a promise too, a promise that promised that there would be a day in which a man born of woman would come and take care of all of their sins once and for all. That same promise is for you, Nathanael. The Messiah has come. Yes, good can come from Nazareth. And the good that comes from there is the goodliest good that you could ever receive. And now it's time for Nathanael to see something. Don't worry, you get to see it too. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. No ecstatic visionary experience here, not like in the Old Testament with Jacob and his ladder. No, Nathanael will see the full embodiment of this angels ascending and descending business. For the only reason that Jesus is the King of Israel is that he came to accomplish everything that must be done, everything that was so long promised to you, promised to me, Nathanael, Adam and Eve, to all of those who sit underneath their own fig trees and cover themselves with fig leaf tunics. Jesus saw us sitting in our sin, and he wasn't about to leave us there. Onto the cross Jesus goes, hoisted up there on a different sort of tree, on some strange sort of ladder in between heaven and earth, connecting the two. There he's going to hang, making another sacrifice, the very last one, to be in fact, to cover your shame. Blood spilt. Garments of righteousness prepared for you. Jesus is the fulfillment of Moses and the law, all the prophets too. He has covered Adam and Eve with himself. He's covered Nathanael as well, so that he can be called an Israelite with no deceit. And he's covered you. No more fig leaf garments for you. Instead, a robe of Christ's righteousness. No more sitting underneath a fig tree. Instead, your life is covered with him. Fig leaves and fig trees. It's more than you would ever think. But then so is this Jesus of Nazareth, who has amazingly brought good unto you when you doubted that he ever could. In the name of Jesus.